and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President-elect Donald Trump has chosen Fox News host Pete Hegseth to be Secretary of Defense. Reaction from CBS News military contributor Jeff McCausland.
Many people thought the most likely candidate to be Secretary of Defense might have been Mike Pompeo. The fact that he didn't select Pompeo, but selected somebody with a pretty thin resume in national security affairs tells me that the primary reason is one of great political loyalty.
A federal judge has sentenced former Massachusetts Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira for leaking highly classified military documents about the war in Ukraine. CBS News legal analyst Lori Levinson.
This case really concerned the government, and they wanted to send a message through the sentencing to others. Teixeira pled guilty, but nonetheless, the court gave him 15 years. The government had wanted 17 years, the defense wanted less, but the judge wanted to send the message as well.
At least 11 employees were taken to hospitals after an explosion Tuesday at a plant in Louisville, Kentucky. CBS's Dave Malkoff has that.
Tyler McLean lives a mile away.
Just heard a huge explosion. The whole house shook.
The blast was so powerful, it blew out windows of nearby buildings. Residents in a two-block radius were told to evacuate.
They did say that some of the gas levels around the opposite side of the street were dissipating a lot quicker than that side of the street, which I'm hopeful about, but it's really scary at the moment.
The shelter-in-place order has now been lifted. Airlines based in the U.S. have been barred by the FAA from flying to Haiti for 30 days. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says the order is in response to three passenger planes being hit with at least one bullet.
The FBI is investigating. One of the things they're going to want to know, was someone targeting U.S. airlines specifically, or was any commercial aircraft being targeted and shot at?
People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive for 2024 was announced Tuesday night on CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
This year's People's Sexiest Man Alive is John Krasinski.
On the show, Krasinski said his friends and family will surely razz him over the holidays.
Thanksgiving's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give me a little taste of what that might be like?
Oh, yeah? People's Sexiest? So you think you're better than me? Is that what it is? Nope, didn't say that. Okay, I understand. We are very clear.
A bus carrying 25 passengers from a wedding plunged into a river late yesterday on a mountainous region of northern Pakistan. At least 14 people died. The bride survived. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
The Packers back on the clock. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers back from their bye week, getting ready to play the Bears in Chicago at noon Sunday. I asked the Packers' leading receiver, Jaden Reed, how's he feeling week 11 with at least eight more games to go?
I feel really good right now. I felt pretty good last game, too, but before that, I was pretty beat up. So, you know, that's why we had a bye week. And, you know, hopefully everybody's feeling much better so we can go out there and fly around and play the best ball we can play.
The Badgers host the number one ranked team in the nation, Oregon, when they play at Camp Randall Saturday night at 6:30. NBA, the Bucks host the Pistons tonight in Milwaukee. The Bucks with a 99-85 win over the Raptors.
What Giannis did today was he really played. One of the things we harp about is playing quick decision basketball. You know, it went from side to side, it moved and went back down, swung back in the paint and made threes. And Giannis was a shepherd of that a lot. Ball didn't stick a lot.
That's head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The announcement seems like only a matter of time, but there will be a sequel to the prequel known as Wonka. The 2023 film starring Timothy Chalamet was one of the top 10 highest grossing films of 2023, so the announcement was more a question of when, not if. Director Paul King says the script is in the early stages and will take place before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he might incorporate some exotic locations where they have to search for secret ingredients. The film Tremors from 1990 is getting a reboot. The team behind the horror flick, which was at times pretty funny, has reacquired the rights to their script and are contemplating how to approach another crack at the franchise, according to JoeBlow.com. Yes, that's a real site. The original film took place in a small Nevada town that saw residents terrified of graboids. Kevin Bacon, who was in the original, has shown interest in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds overnight, gusty southeast winds, lower 30s at sunrise. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies stay with us, along with that breeze. Could have a late day shower, otherwise highs in the upper 40s. More likely time for rain will be Wednesday night. Right now, it's 31.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Our very own Trinity Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, with a look back on the election that was. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same if you call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show today, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area at 10:33. He's got a new recombobulation area article out about 10 takeaways from the election. So we will break that down with Dan Schaefer and continue asking, where is the great Hovdini? No one's seen him. Eric Hovde. Guess he's back in California. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06. Really looking forward to talking to her. I thought she ran a great campaign. She came up short in the end, but we'll talk to her about what she learned. If she will run again.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that she might. And also, the Wisconsin Supreme Court was hearing arguments about that 1849 abortion ban yesterday, and we will be talking about that with her as well. And then, of course, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 11:51. Today, it's the, I didn't see that coming. And that's courtesy of Andrew in Maine, so thank you so much for sending that one in. Andrew, you can always do the same. If you have a thing that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Also, just a reminder, if you would like to be a supporter of Civic Media, one way you can do that, in addition to listening and spreading the word that we exist, you can get some merch.
What?
Yes, you can get shirts, you can get t-shirts, you can get hats. Go to civicmedia.us and pick up a new hat.
A new hat or a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Spiff up the wardrobe a little bit with some Civic Media merch.
Yeah.
That would be greatly appreciated. Wanted to start off talking about school referendums. There were many of them last Tuesday. From WPR, voters approved tax increases for many Wisconsin school districts. This from Corrine Hess. Preliminary results show many Wisconsin school districts successfully made the case to voters that their schools need money. Voters in 120 different school districts were asked to approve 137 referendum questions. An early analysis found about 107 of those did pass, 30 failed.
It's very interesting for a variety of reasons, in my opinion, because one, like when people talk about the quote unquote failing school systems, but then they still go out and vote to give them school money, which is great. They need the money.
We need public schools.
We need public schools. They are important. They need to be held to a higher standard, and they need more money to give the teachers and students what they need. But there's one piece of information that's kind of sitting there in Madison. It's like, I don't know, it's like 3.8 to 4 billion ideas called a surplus we could be giving to these schools, but it's not being used.
It's not a priority.
It's
really not a priority. No. State School Superintendent Jill Underlie says she believes voters realize the value of public education and understand that schools need sustainable funding. Quote, our state legislature has severely underfunded public schools for well over a decade. That's true. And it's led to a record number of districts going to referendum to try and fix these severe financial constraints on their own. So, yeah, if the legislature had been keeping up with funding our public schools ever since Scott Walker got elected, we might not see so many districts having to go to referendum.
Well, I mean, like right now, there's the GOP, the Madison loves nothing more than to not give our kids school, give our kids the money they need, give the schools the money they need. Was it $50 million the Joint Finance Committee is sitting on right now for the new program that they had
For the mandatory literacy program.
The literacy program they had to institute this year, had to pay for this year, but the money to fund it is still sitting in Madison because the Joint Finance Committee will not release the funding. Right. It's not being voted on. It's done.
It was approved.
There is a bank account with a bunch of money in it, but they're just sitting there doing nothing. Meanwhile, schools have to make do and pay for these programs out of their own pocket through their budget. And when they have to adjust their budgets, that means other things don't get funded. Maybe people get let go. It's not a sustainable way of doing things.
Not to keep doing referendums year after year after year.
No.
Because at some point, taxpayers are going to say, we're fed up.
Yeah.
I can't see my property taxes go up anymore to help fund schools, which is, again, I get that, but we also need to keep in mind that we are essentially funding two separate school systems.
Yes, we are. Jane, tell them more.
Well, it's called the voucher plan.
But I thought the voucher plan was perfect, Jane, and all you do is you tell a private school, hey, I'd like to my kid to go there, but I can't afford it. And the private school is like, yeah, don't worry about it. We get you a voucher.
Yeah, not so much.
How do they pay for that voucher, Jane?
They take taxpayer money, Greg Bach.
But what?
So we are essentially funding two separate school systems.
Yes, we are.
Public schools and then the voucher schools. And the voucher schools have far less oversight than public schools do.
Let's talk about that for a moment. If you're talking about private schools, some of them have, I don't want to say standards because I want to hold children to that term. They have rules. They have guidebooks. And if you don't fit in their world, they have every right, because they are not a public school, to throw you out.
Or to refuse you.
Yeah, whether it is a trans kid, a gay kid, someone who they maybe just don't want there.
Someone with a physical disability.
They can find a reason, and they don't have to justify to anyone. But here's the thing, is they can apply for that voucher program. They can get that voucher money, except that young kid who doesn't fit their milieu, and then throw them out. Without explanation, well, they'll say they didn't fit in. They'll give it a very basic idea. And then guess what, folks? They get to keep your money.
Oh, that's how that works.
That's how that works. If you want to know, folks, if you're listening right now and this is new to you, welcome aboard. It's a terrible train to ride. But in the show notes today, the Wisconsin Action Network has put together Wisconsin Public Education Network, my apologies, has put together a website where you can go to your county or metropolitan area school district. You can look up how much money from the budget of that school district is being diverted to voucher programs. And it is lots.
It's a substantial amount of money.
A lot of money. Look at your metropolitan Madison area, your Milwaukee area. We're seen as a lot of money. That is money coming out of your taxes, your tax dollars. And going to voucher programs. That is money that your children won't get because...
if they go to public schools.
Exactly. So that is, I mean, this. I think you said it too, and it blew my mind because I've never heard anyone say before like that, which is we are funding two separate school systems.
Essentially.
And one of them is far more expensive than the other one.
And this is my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but... people who had already enrolled their kids in private schools get to take advantage of these vouchers too, correct?
That I'm not sure of, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know how you could deny them.
No. No, and I'm sure if you go to that school and say, I'd love to send my kid here, but I can't afford it, they're gonna say, don't worry about it. We got you covered. We have a voucher program. Well, that's money that's coming out of a public school. And coming out of the pocket of their budget and coming and being taken away from children who need a good public school education.
In Madison, Superintendent Joe Goddard said, we are excited that 10 of our schools will be transformed with the yes vote for district facilities. But he continues that and our revenues are not keeping up with our costs. We, along with other public school districts throughout the state, continue to be grossly underfunded. Our team will come together and engage with the community to determine how to move forward so other districts that did pass referendums included Green Bay, Wauwatosa, West Allis, Cudahy, Franklin, Glendale, River Hills, Eau Claire, and Superior.
And earlier this year, Milwaukee passed a massive $272 million referendum in spring. Was it spring or was it the
It was. I think it was in spring.
It was spring. I wasn't sure if it was the primary. But yeah, they passed a huge referendum in Milwaukee. And I don't want to say it's going poorly, but things in MPS are not going to snuff at this point. So it just comes down to the fact that we need great public schools, and it is not impossible. It's harder to do that when they're stealing money away from these public schools and giving them private schools who, I'm sorry, if you can't afford their tuition, you might not be able to go. I mean, there's scholarships, there's academics, sports scholarships, that's great. But I don't know. I just think that, and I say as someone who went to private school, I went to Catholic school from grade 1 to grade 12. So I get it. But I also went back in the day when it was didn't cost as much as to go to college.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, nowadays, I think the high school that I went to, Catholic Memorial, is more expensive than some UW schools. It's very expensive to go.
Wow.
Yeah. We're talking about that kind of money, folks, coming out of your school's budget.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the conversation as we talk about school referenda that just passed last week in a number of school districts around the state. This might become a moot thing.
Yeah.
Because the president-elect has said he's going to abolish the Department of Education.
Yeah, because, you know, that helps. That'll help. What's your plan then? Everyone just goes...
I don't know.
Everyone goes to private school for free. I mean...
For some reason, I think that's not part of the plan.
Children in certain economic situations, you get to work in the mines. And that's honestly, we've talked about that before, too, is that this constant chipping away at public education, giving children the ability to, you know, learn and do better and go to college are going to be forced to quit school and work and do exactly what some of these politicians want, is to have them as good little laborers.
Definitely. Cindy from Appleton, we are going to break. If you can hang on, we will start back with you when we return. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes. Hey, just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. And the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And you can call and text directly from the Civic Media app.
What?
So if you, I know. So if you don't have it yet, go to wherever you get your apps and download the Civic Media app. They just updated it.
Yeah, they did. It's now only $1.2 million per download.
It's completely free.
Why do we do this?
And it gives you the opportunity to listen to all of the shows all across the state, no matter where you are. So it's pretty handy, and yeah, it's free. So download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Before we went to break, we were talking about the number of school referendums that passed last Tuesday as our schools continue, public schools in a way, continue to struggle. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Well, I think we're just going to get to the point of no return soon with trying to, you know, keep our public schools going through communities. It's just going to get to the point where people just can't do it anymore. And, you know, if the Felons Administration actually does deport as many people as they're threatening to deport, someone's going to have to take those jobs. And since they're still going to want cheap labor, why not put children in those positions?
Yep.
That's a really terrifying prospect, Cindy.
Yeah.
I honestly think that's what they want, really.
No, I think, Cindy, you're correct. I think their goal is to put children back to work, women in the kitchen.
Well, we've seen, good heavens, they did. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, they've been altering child labor laws over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I guess I can see where that might be the goal.
Yeah.
I don't know how many folks are going to feel good about that.
I just, you know, I wonder when's the point where they're going to start telling women, congresswomen and senators,
you need to retire.
You need to retire because these jobs need to be done by men. If your grandmas, just take care of your grandkids. And yeah, this is them forcing us into what they thought America was in the 50s.
The good old days.
The good old days.
The good old days. Thank you, Cindy. Really appreciate you checking in. And as always, thank you for listening very much. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We wanted to do this briefly before we go to the bottom of the hour news. The president-elect is putting together potential cabinet members. I'm seeing that now this is not a lock.
Mm-hmm.
But Marco Rubio is being considered for Secretary of State. Now, I'm seeing some differing reports coming in this morning. Now, let's not forget that Donald Trump called him, what, Little Marco?
Yeah.
Little Lion Marco or something?
Yeah, he's not really original.
But I'm seeing from some on Twitter that they don't feel that this is a bad pick.
Well, I guess Marco Rubio went really hard on China.
Right.
And his whole thing with TikTok, and I asked this to Todd this morning about this matter of this. They're tough on China. The last time I checked, Donald Trump worships Xi Jinping. Calls him a brilliant man.
He's a genius.
Rules 1.4 billion people with an iron fist, which is
he likes.
An authoritarian. So how are we going to both praise the leader, yet denigrate the country and put tariffs on them, ban their apps? If this, because TikTok went away, like TikTok, as far as like the controversy went away. But I think in 2025, you're going to see a resurrection.
It's going to come back.
So like my question is this tough on China thing, how is this going to work for us as a country? How does this benefit us when you got our leader sucking up to their leader while undermining all of their industry and undermining their technology? It just does not make sense to me whatsoever.
Well, I guess that's why diplomacy would be necessary. Call me crazy.
Nah,
we don't need to do that. The other one that really just jumped out at me is South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem.
Why do I remember that name,
Jane? South Dakota Republican who boasted of shooting her pet dog, Cricket, to death, shooting it in the head in a gravel pit because the dog was uncontrollable.
It was a just beyond a puppy.
It was 4 months old.
Was it 4 months old?
That's what I saw this morning.
Okay. It was a puppy.
It was a puppy.
And she didn't know how to train it, so she punished it and put it in a book. And boy, did that keep her from becoming vice president.
Some of the things on social media about this pic: Trump wants the dog shooter to be his Secretary of Homeland Security because that's what she's being tapped for. And she put this in her book.
Yep.
She put this in her book. So she is going to be in charge of Homeland Security. I guess her ability to stand next to Donald Trump while he swayed to music
for 39 minutes.
For 39 minutes at one of his rallies just a couple of weeks before the election. That must have drawn them closer.
Yes. Who's going to take her place as the governor of South Dakota?
Well, he's pulling a lot of folks from the House, too.
Yes. Yes, he is.
And I think Mike Johnson's getting a little bit nervous about that because they've got to, and it looks like the Republicans are going to take the House, so they're going to have a trifecta going in.
Grand. I would say a quadfecta. They got the Supreme Court, too.
There's that, too. Yeah, I don't know.
These are just some of the names. I mean,
Ben Carson came up again.
Awesome.
Granted, the man is a surgeon. I'll give him that.
So he's going to be the Surgeon General?
No, I think it came up for Health and Human Services.
Oh, that's right. Some job he's never done before.
Well, I guess I'd rather have Ben over RFK Jr.
Oh, that's right. Well, he can make RFK Jr. the Surgeon General. Anything to make America healthy again, Jane.
Right, right.
Do those push-ups, decapitate those whales.
As one does.
Yes.
Again, these are being floated. You know, obviously nothing is that there's been no confirmation process. Donald Trump kind of wants to go around the whole confirmation process.
Yes, he is going to do that. He is, and the Senate's on board.
Yeah.
They're
going to capitulate and do whatever he wants, yeah. I think that was pretty much a given.
Yeah, but if you notice, a lot of these people who are being picked, sycophants, not so much experts in their fields.
Well, and the one thing about Ben Carson, he has to be the slowest talking.
Yes.
Human.
He's Sleepy Ben.
In the world. News is next. When we come back, Dan Schaefer will be here for a little recombobulating. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Breaking news, two people have died and an explosion at a plant in Louisville, Kentucky that makes ingredients for soft drinks. Jody Myman heads the city's emergency services department.
The shelter in place was done immediately just because of the unknown. There was a complete unknown about exactly what was, you know, what was dealing with, and the firefighters and the local responders know what's in those buildings, but when you mix those things, that becomes a problem.
President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet picks have one thing in common, says CBS News political director Finn Gomez.
The converging point across these candidacies, if you will, for these high-ranking positions in the incoming Trump administration is the fact that they are loyal to Donald Trump.
A third passenger airplane may have been targeted at the Port-au-Prince airport in Haiti. Here's CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
An American Airlines flight to Miami was found to have an apparent bullet hole in it after the plane landed in Miami. There were no reports of any injuries on that flight.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Packers back on the clock. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers back from their bye week, getting ready to play the Bears in Chicago at noon Sunday. I asked the Packers' leading receiver, Jaden Reed, how's he feeling week 11 with at least eight more games to go?
I feel really good right now. I felt pretty good last game, too, but before that, I was pretty beat up. So, you know, that's why we had a bye week. And, you know, hopefully everybody's feeling much better so we can go out there and fly around and play the best ball we can play.
The Badgers host the number one ranked team in the nation, Oregon, when they play at Camp Randall Saturday night at 6:30. NBA, the Bucks host the Pistons tonight in Milwaukee. The Bucks with a 99-85 win over the Raptors.
What Giannis did today was he really played. One of the things we harp about is playing quick decision basketball. You know, it went from side to side, it moved and went back down, swung back in the paint and made threes. And Giannis was a shepherd of that a lot. Ball didn't stick a lot.
That's head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Beyonce might have been disappointed with her response from the Country Music Awards, but when it comes to Grammy nominations, she's at the top. Variety reports that Beyonce has been nominated for 11 Grammys, including Artist, Song, and Album of the Year for Cowboy Carter. Not far behind are some other heavy hitters, including, you guessed it, Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, Billie Eilish, and new kid on the block, Chappell Roan. Roan and Carpenter also up for Best New Artist of the Year. Looks like I got shut out again. Taylor Sheridan apparently decided he does not have enough shows on TV, so he is teaming up with Blake Shelton for a new music reality show. The Road will follow a big-time music star around the country in search of the next big musical talent. Deadline reports competing artists will have the opportunity to open for an A-lister in various towns to win over crowds. The music superstar who will lead the search has not yet been revealed. The Road will launch in the fall of 2025 on CBS. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds overnight, gusty southeast winds, lower 30s at sunrise. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies stay with us along with that breeze. Could have a late day shower, otherwise highs in the upper 40s. More likely time for rain will be Wednesday night. Right now, it's 31.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow is still on vacation, but Matt Rothschild is sitting in and we're talking about all the news in Wisconsin and beyond. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, do you remember Bodie McBoatface?
Yes.
From a couple of years ago? Well, we have a Wisconsin version of Bodie McBoatface, and we will have an update for you next hour around 11:33. It should make you laugh.
It made us laugh so hard.
So hard.
It was what we needed. I have not seen Jane laugh this hard in a while.
It felt really, really good. Yeah. So that's coming up next hour. And then, of course, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the I Didn't See That Coming edition. So stick around for that as well. Right now, though, very glad to be joined by our friend and colleague and Civic Media's political editor and the author of The Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are excellent. Kind of wondering, where is the great Houdini? No one has seen him. Where is the invisible Senate candidate from Wisconsin? He still hasn't conceded yet, has he?
He still has not conceded yet. And I'm actually writing something about this right now. It is bizarre. His last public comment was the morning after Election Day, the morning of November 6th. Last public comments were in the 9 o'clock hour, and that was 6 days ago. And it has been complete radio silence. It's not like anybody is seriously disputing these results. Tammy Baldwin has given a very speech. Tammy Baldwin won by an identical margin to what Donald Trump defeated the Harris Walz ticket by in Wisconsin. And no one is disputing
that
Donald Trump won Wisconsin at all. And yet it has been complete radio silence from Hovde. And you know what? Chaos loves vacuum. And because Hovde has not conceded in this race, we are starting to see the same types of nonsensical conspiracy theories being spread by your pal Jabba the Musk and the rest of the far right election denier fringe on the platform formerly known as Twitter. So there are now posts in the multi-million views of accusing Wisconsin of stealing the Senate race by this vote dump. I love the logic of this, saying that, you know, they conducted some sort of fraud to steal the Senate race, but not the presidential race,
right?
Or any of this nonsense, right?
Or any of the state legislative races or the assembly races. No, right. So the cheaters let them get all those wins, but it was just this one that we really,
just
really,
this
just this one. I'm seeing the
just
same thing
one.
about yeah. Kerry Lake in Arizona now.
Right.
The same kind of, yes, they stole this seat from her, but not all the other ones.
No. And she just got done. She finally just got done with 2022. Now she gets another few years out of this race,
right,
saying it was stolen. This is, you know what? At what point, though, at what point do we just let them spin out and be like, all right, yeah, sure, if you think so. Because there's no convincing them. There's no evidence. There's better things to do with our time. And it just doesn't make sense to, like, even fight them at a certain point.
But I think I think there is a reason to fight them, because they keep convincing other people that there is widespread voter fraud. Mike Johnson was outside the chambers this morning talking to reporters and saying how great the results of the 2024 election were, and there was no cheating. So I'm thinking, well, what about you inherently knowing that millions of illegal immigrants vote in every election? What happened to that?
Yeah, it just goes to show how nonsensical these claims of election fraud are. And it's like the confirmation bias of it all. Like what you were saying with the Mike Johnson press conference. Mm-hmm. It's just like, since our guy won, then there's no fraud.
Right.
Yeah.
But when
good.
We don't win, then it's fraud. The only way we could ever lose elections is if it's fraud. No, it's sometimes just people disagree. In this case, Tammy Baldwin won by 0.86%. in Wisconsin, and Donald Trump won by 0.86% in Wisconsin. She did slightly better than the rest of the ticket. That was the expectation all along. I think most people, observers of Wisconsin politics, you know, were convinced that Tammy Baldwin would run a point or two ahead of the top of the ticket, whoever was the presidential race, even back when it was Biden. And sure enough, that appeared to be the case. And that appeared to be the difference in the state of Wisconsin, because we have such close elections here. And looking back to 2 years ago, we had another very close race in the U.S. Senate,
yep,
where Ron Johnson defeated Mandela Barnes by a margin of about 27,000 votes. Mandela Barnes gave a concession speech in Milwaukee the day after that election. Tammy Baldwin defeated Eric Hovde by a margin of about 29,000 votes. These are very similar results. So yes, mm-hmm, there is the difference of the third party candidates who ran in this year's election. I think collectively between the two of them, amounted to somewhere around like 65 or 70,000 votes. But those votes aren't changing either. And I think it's also overstating things to suggest that all of those votes would have automatically gone to Hovde. There's probably many people who were voting that election who may not have voted at all in that race otherwise. So it's also wrong to suggest, that you know exactly how third party voters are going to break if it was just the two candidates, the Republican and Democrat, on the ballot. And nevertheless, you know, those people who voted in those races, they voted for those candidates. Those aren't changing. So I think I think Eric Hovde needs to step forward now and accept the results of this election, put to rest this nonsense that is being batted around on social media about the vote dump, about conspiracies about these elections. It's time to put this to rest. It's been a week since Election Day. It's over. Move on. We're all moving on too.
I moved on a while ago. The moment they said Tammy Baldwin won, I'm like, goodbye, Eric. I don't even care if he gives a concession speech, because he's just showing that he's part of that unprofessional, childlike contingent of, I didn't get my way, so I'm just going to go away.
I'm just going to go home.
And the question I have, too, is he honestly, like, is he with his people right now saying, is it worth coming out saying we want a recount? And
well, he's going to have to pay for it.
Exactly. Well, he can afford it.
Yeah, he can afford it. But I mean, it's pretty much throwing money down the toilet.
But not just a recount, but also claiming that there's voter fraud. Like is he weighing those options before he says anything else?
Well, and I think another reason for this, like, Wisconsin has gone through so much over the past 4 years with this type of election denial nonsense, yeah, like the Gableman affair from the 2021 and 2022, so many of these candidates who have pushed these types of ridiculous conspiracy theories on the Republican side over the past 4 years. It's enough of this at this point. And I think, if Eric Hovde wants to have any kind of a future in Wisconsin politics, he needs to come forward and concede, and he needs to do it sooner than later. It's long past time. He should have done this on Wednesday,
yes,
or even Thursday. Look, I mean, given the extra day, there's a lot of votes in a presidential election. We didn't get that results reported from Milwaukee until very, very late on election night. But, they were not decisive for him. And Milwaukee wasn't even the last place to report its results. There were results from Oshkosh. There were results from Oak Creek that didn't report until later on, too. It was not just Milwaukee.
Well,
either,
then we
as
need
much
investi-
as they always want to make this a Milwaukee.
I was
going to
say, then we better get some investigations into those communities, Dan, and find out what happened with those vote dumps.
Exactly. I heard father version of Dan come out that this is enough. This is enough. Eric?
You heard
Eric, yep, that was get on the podium and say you're sorry for not doing this sooner. This is enough.
I slipped into dad voice there.
Just for a little bit. Just for a little bit. That's good. That's good. That gave us a little taste of your dad mode. Well, we will keep our eyes out to see if Hovdini shows up, and we'll definitely
still not there.
Let you know if anybody spots him or if anybody.
It's going to be like Bigfoot.
It's where's Waldo now? With Eric Hovde. Although I think California's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. We're going to take you real quickly, Bill. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, and thanks for your open forum. I love it. Dan O'Donnell will not let me talk. He's afraid of me. He's terrified of me. But anyhow, thanks, guys. On the election, let's regroup, let's wait for the first shoe to fall, and it's almost falling now. There's a lot of stuff on the internet chatter about how Putin is telling Trump, well, now I'm in charge, Donald, you're not. They had something posted on Russian TV of Putin walking Donald Trump like a dog.
Yeah, they had. I saw some other stuff on Russian TV that was not terribly flattering to the future and former first lady on Russian television. They were pretty happily sharing her nude photos, but that's another discussion, I think. And that's something we're going to have to keep our eyes on too. The global order.
Yep.
And other leaders in the world.
Yeah.
Dan Schaefer is here. He is the political editor for Civic Media, and he is also the author of the Recombobulation Area, multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. You whipped up a new column, Dan, that you posted late on Friday to talk about some of the takeaways from Tuesday's election, last week's election.
Yeah. I think there's a lot we can learn from these results. And I think, the first point that I made in this piece was that Wisconsin nearly defied this red wave election. Of the seven swing states, Wisconsin was the closest. And it is actually the first time Wisconsin has voted to the left of both Michigan and Pennsylvania since 1988.
Interesting.
Wow.
It has been typical of Wisconsin to be slightly to the right of both of those states. It's been the case as things have, really focused on these blue wall states in the last few presidential elections. But Wisconsin has actually voted to the left of Pennsylvania and to the left of Michigan. And once again, Wisconsin's presidential election margin was less than 1%. So now, five of the last presidential elections in the state of Wisconsin have been decided by a less than 1% margin. The other two being the ones with Barack Obama on the ballot and delivering a very clear victory. So we just have extraordinarily close elections in the state of Wisconsin.
And didn't voter turnout go up too, Dan?
Turnout went up. Harris actually won more votes in Wisconsin in 2024 than Biden received in the state in 2020. So I think that lends credence to what a lot of people were feeling on the ground, was that this rise in enthusiasm, this rise in energy around the Harris Walls campaign, it just ultimately, just very, very close election was not enough.
Just wasn't enough.
But I believe that even nationwide, Donald Trump did not get as many votes this time that he did in 2020 when he lost too. Like, it's just, the numbers are interesting. I mean, you were talking about numbers amongst white people over the age of 65.
Yes.
Coming out for, I mean, it's just, Dan, we'll get more into the takeaways as well. Just the numbers are fascinating to look at from just a standpoint of like elections.
Oh, absolutely. And when you really start breaking it down, which is what Dan Schaefer does.
Exactly.
He delves into all that stuff and breaks it down. We're going to put a link to the Recombobulation Area with your article in our show notes. You can always find our show notes at civicmedia.us. Just click on all shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, and then that will take you to the entire archive. We're going to continue talking about Tuesday's results. Dan Schaefer is here. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You have four takeaways.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is our guest. He is the political editor here at Civic Media, also the author of the award-winning The Recombobulation Area, talking about the results of last Tuesday's election, and one of your most recent columns about 10 takeaways from the 2024 election. Dan, just one question from a listener who texted in, Troy from Mount Horeb. We were talking about the great Hovdini, Eric Hovde. Where is he? Troy wants to know, what's the deadline for him to ask for a recount? Do you know that?
I'm actually not sure. Okay. I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, but I mean, there at some point, it's there will question, be a deadline. Yeah. At some point, there's a deadline, and he's going to cross it or either, you know, do something before that time. We will double check on that, Troy, and get back to you.
I have been combing through the Wisconsin Elections Commission's recount rules as I try to figure out what exactly that is. So stay tuned. I'll have a column or something online with
soon.
That.
Yeah. All right. Another big takeaways, according to your article, was how southwestern Wisconsin really went big for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of this breakdown was taking a look at what happened by region of the state. And I think there was a lot of focus on, you know, the Wow counties. I wrote a big piece about the Fox Valley and Green Bay. But I think one of the stories that has really emerged in the early going here from taking a look at the shift from 2020, you know, not that I think some of this we can look on a longer scale, but the shift from 2020 was most pronounced in southwestern Wisconsin. You know, only a few Wisconsin counties moved in the blue direction this year, but the most pronounced shifts came from that cluster in the southwest. So Lafayette County, Iowa County, Crawford County, and Grant County all moved in a roughly 6-point shift from Donald Trump in this election. You know, Harris won a majority in Iowa County, but these were all counties that were won by Janet Protasiewicz in the 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And, you know, and I was just looking at Grant County in particular. Grant County is the one in the very corner of the state bordering Iowa. And that county voted for Barack Obama by double-digit margins in both 2008 and 2012. That shifted pretty dramatically in 2016 to a near 10-point margin for Trump, and now it's in about an 18-point margin for Trump in 2024. And I think it's becoming a real problem in this particular district. This was, you know, in the congressional district where Derek Van Worden now represents. There were a lot of those Obama-Trump voters in 2016. And I think, you know, there was maybe that trend slowed down a little bit in 2020, but now it has picked back up. And I think we're seeing that part of the state continue to accelerate its shift towards Republicans. And we're seeing it not only some of the more rural counties in the area. La Crosse County actually was among those that shifted the most towards Trump in this election as well. I think it was about a 4-point shift for La Crosse County. And if you drew, there were some parts of the city there that really moved pretty significantly in Trump's direction. And so I think this is a real problem for Democrats in the statewide calculus. You know, if some of these Trump plus 10 to 15 counties become Trump plus 20 to 25 counties in the future, that could really make a difference in the margin statewide. So I think we really have to look at what's going on in southwestern Wisconsin, because it's pretty clear that voters in that region are just not buying what the Democrats are selling.
Well, but it's going to be interesting now going into the new administration and whether or not the farm bill, anything happens with the farm bill. And I also think that the tariffs that Donald Trump has talked about, which we know really impacted our farmers last time, could do the same, if not worse, to our farmers this time around. So we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens over the next 4 years.
Yep, absolutely. Another region of the state that shifted a lot from 2012 to 2016, much like these Obama-Trump parts of the state did, was the Fox Valley and Green Bay area shifted in that way in 2016, but not so much in this election. So the shifts in the Bow counties, Brown, Outagamie, and Winnebago counties, it was pretty much same as 2020. You know, Trump carried all three counties, but the shifts from 2020 to 2024 were maybe by like 1% in these counties. Outagamie was, you know, a 10-point margin both in 2020 and 2024. I think this is actually a point of pride for Democrats in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, because they held serve in a red wave election. Instead of seeing this shift continue towards Republicans in those regions, they kind of, you know, the shift was not the same. And I think, you know, in places like Appleton, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Nina, Menasha, you saw some continued shifts towards Democrats. Now, it wasn't obviously enough to make a difference in the statewide race, but I do think, you know, as much as the western part of the state, northern part of the state continued to become redder and redder, I do think it's interesting that the Fox Valley kind of that shift stopped there. And I think if you look ahead to what a path forward for Democrats winning statewide elections are, I think you have to put a little bit higher of a priority on turning out some more of those votes, shifting more of those votes in the Fox Valley and Green Bay. We also saw two of the closest assembly races there were also in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, too, decided by a combined total of like less than 500 votes.
Wow.
So there's room there too.
Dan Schaefer is the political editor for Civic Media and the author of The Recombobulation Area. Subscribe. It's fantastic. Thank you, Dan. We'll see you Friday.
Thank you so much. Be well.
News is coming up next. When we return, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here. Please stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, nationwide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
Someone you leave behind. I'll break your heart so you don't break mine. For I love you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm going to talk about the new information environment. Elon Musk controls all the info. What does that mean? We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.